Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening is Chef Sarah Lasry, author of two successful cookbooks and a very successful restaurateur. Good evening, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Baruch Hashem.
So, I must tell you.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
I first wanted to compliment you. I love your radio show, and I'm really getting into. I've just recently discovered you, and I'm really getting into your Kosher Scene blog, and it's really exciting to see great kosher food writers out there. It's a great new thing that we have coming up.
Thank you. I'm
excited. How I got into the food business, it's a very long story, but it's actually a very fun story. I was a director of marketing for quite a few years, and I had broken my leg, and I was in transition for a year. I was recovering, and I decided to follow a dream, and I always wanted to open up a little flower shop with a coffee shop attached to it where I make great pastries and have good coffee and, you know, the occasional salad or, you know, dish that's, you know, a special. And I did it in Lakewood, New Jersey, which is where I sort of grew up during high school. And it didn't actually have a restaurant around that was doing those type of things and didn't really have a flower shop that was catering to the people. And what happened was the flower shop was not allowed because we weren't allowed to mix flowers and food according to the township that we were in. So the need for food was much greater, and we went with the food shop, and we opened up the restaurant, and that's how I started in the food. I had no experience other than, you know, coming from a very long line of phenomenal women cooks, and that's how I started.
Well, you may not have had any experience, but I have three kids in Lakewood, and they and their families tell me that the food was phenomenal. So, experience or not, you did very, very well.
Thank you. We appreciate it. I miss the restaurant. I really do. But, you know, we had to close down this summer, and you know, it's still something that's a great passion for me. And I've actually parlayed into, you know, becoming the food editor for the Jewish Women magazine, Bina. And the Bina magazine, and starting this new great website, kosher lifestyle website, kosherstreet.com. So it's actually a lot of fun because now I don't have to cater to just, you know, the clients that are coming in from Lakewood, but I get to really expand my repertoire and, you know, do things that I have passion for and food that I have passion for.
How do you develop that passion for food? What happened in your life that suddenly you decided, oh, I love cooking or I like making food?
It's funny that you should ask that because when I had the idea for a restaurant, in my life, I always never liked to hear the word no. So I didn't really tell people things that I were doing. It was my philosophy. If I was going to do something or if it was something that I really, really wanted to achieve, I just did it without asking, do you think it's a good idea? Can I do it? How should I do it? Because, you know, people, you know, in all good faith will sometimes, you know, be negative nillies or negative neds and tell you, well, maybe it's not such a great idea, or who are you? You know nothing about food. How can you start a restaurant? It was just something that my whole life, and if I, you know, I keep journals, and I always look at it. I was 12 years old, and, you know, and I would write, you know, my dream job would be to, you know, own a cafe or own a restaurant. I don't know where I got it from other than I could tell you that I just grew up with a mother who had a love for cookbooks. I remember, you know, the early Sunday mornings waking up to, you know, my mother cooking brunch or late night. She, you know, when my mother got nervous, she had a lot of her mind, she would wake up in the middle of the night and she would bake these incredible muffins or cakes. And we would wake up as children and smell them. And we weren't really allowed to in the kitchen at all, but we only by observance, because my mother didn't like when anybody was around her, and she really didn't want our help, you know. But we just learned by osmosis, I guess, because my sister as well is a phenomenal cook. And when I had this idea and when I was finally in a time in my life where it was either do or die, either open up a dream, go after my dream, or, you know, do something that wasn't a passion of mine, I decided to take that chance. And I didn't tell anybody. And when I had already gotten the place and I was thinking about doing it, I actually approached one of my friends, actually a neighbor who has a phenomenal cake business going, a cheesecake business going. And I said to her, you know, I have this idea of opening up this restaurant with the flower shop. And she looked at me and she says, and exactly what I was expecting, but really didn't want to hear. She looked at me and she goes, what the heck do you know about food? You know, I've never seen you cook a dish. I was single and, you know, who was I cooking for really? Except for myself, and what would she know? And she really gave me, you know, her doubt. You know, I don't know if you know what you're doing. And I said to her, don't worry. I know what I'm doing because the love of food I've had and the passion, I know what good food is. And I said, I can't go wrong. If it's something that I love, I know everybody else will love. And that philosophy was so true when I opened up the restaurant. We started very small with a very limited menu, and it was only things that I knew that was phenomenal, and the recipes were great. And we had 7 items on our menu, and as people's requests came in or as my taste developed or there was something else I wanted to include, that's how we built from a 7-item menu to like a little bit over 80 items on the menu. And each one I can say was very good. So that's how it
and
happened for us.
And if you have any questions, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to speak to our guest or you want to make any comment about the show, please give us a call at 714-333-3357. That's 714-333-3357. Sarah, you've been a restaurateur for about 8 years. I am sure you must have had some unusual stories that you can tell us about those 8 years, that experience, about something funny, something unusual, something strange.
I always get questions like, how do you do it? How do you like the restaurant business? What is the restaurant business? You know, people think it's a very glamorous lifestyle, and I must say, I also thought at one point it was very glamorous. Not glamorous, but more it was like this fantasy world of owning your own restaurant and your friends are going to come and your family's going to come and nobody ever really thinks about what the work is and nobody ever thinks about what the customer service is on running a restaurant. And I can't tell you all the time that I was number one in customer service because it was hard sometimes to deal with people's, how can I put this, you know, delicately, extremely odd requests. And the funniest story, or one of the funniest stories, actually didn't happen to me directly. I had a great manager on Sundays, because I didn't really work on Sundays full time, Jared. And he called me one day, hysterical laughing, one Sunday calling, you have to hear what happened. I said, okay, let's hear. We had on our time at that time, and we've actually had it from day one. It was one of the items that we put on number one on our menu was penne alla vodka. You know, typical cafe fare, penne alla vodka. And he had a customer who came in who said to him, listen, I come to Taste Buds all the time, and I take out and I stay in. And whenever I stay in, I order the penne vodka, and it's absolutely delicious. The cream is there. The vodka just comes out brilliantly. I can really taste the vodka. And for some reason, whenever I take it home, I can never taste the vodka. So little did this man know that after day 2 of making penne vodka on our menu, for the first time we ever made it, I decided that to actually put vodka in our penne alla vodka would not be a good thing. I was afraid, first of all, of who was going to actually be drinking that vodka. Is it going to actually be going into the customer's sauce or worm, or somewhere am I going to have to, you know, find some drunk workers on my vodka, you know, because I was a little bit afraid of that situation. And then on top of that, it was quite expensive vodka. And I didn't really think the difference between adding the vodka to the sauce and keeping it out, really there was a taste difference, because most of the time the vodka just cooks off and there's really no difference. A little bit extra basil and a little bit extra oregano into my vodka sauce, I thought would taste just as good as that vodka. And in fact, it was fine. Nobody knew that I never actually put vodka into my sauce. So this man who was requesting extra vodka in his sauce when he took it out didn't realize that there was actually no vodka. But my manager, Jared, at the time was, I guess, a little bit, how we say, fed up or didn't know what to do or didn't know how to answer him. He basically told this man, sure, no problem. The next time you order, just ask for more vodka. But I will have to tell you that it's going to be an extra $2 charge. This time we'll give it to you because you ordered. No problem, we'll redo it for you. But this time we'll give it to you, no problem. Here you go. And he made, what he did was he went back to the chef and he said, you know, do us a favor, add a little bit more sauce. So it's a little bit saucier and give it to this guy to take home. So the guy gets his penne al vodka, he goes home. We get a phone call, or Jared gets a phone call 10 minutes later telling him and praising him, oh, it's so wonderful. Thank you for adding extra vodka. It's definitely worth the extra $2. And, you know, next time I know what to do. Thank you so much. And that was the penne al vodka story. And I told Jared, I said, please don't take $2 from him next time. I don't want to have to, you know, go to jail or answer to God after 120 years for the extra $2 for the non-existent vodka. I realized that most likely what was going on was that when it actually got home to the whoever this man was, it might have, you know, the cream sometimes like soaks into the pasta and it's not as creamy as when you get it fresh to your plate,
right,
you know, 2 seconds
right
away from the oven.
Right.
But, you know, it was a funny story and we always, you know, we always have that story and we always tell people when they used to complain to us, you know, it's not saucy enough or it's not, he says, no problem, we'll get you more vodka, you know, and that's how it works for us. That's the story of the penne al vodka. So, and we have many stories like that. You know, there are customers whose requests were, you know, comical. You know, they would put combinations of things together, and I would say, are you so sure? Are you serious? And they said, yes, yes, yes. And, you know, and some of those dishes that they've made, you know, or they've concocted, I always say, do you mind if I take a bite to just see how it tastes? Because they were loving their own concoctions, and some of the really great ones we actually put on the menu. And that's how we developed some of our Asian fusion salad was something that you know, a customer developed. And other things that were on the end of our menu were from customers who, you know, would tell us what they like.
Were there any excuse me, I have these nasty coughs. Were there any items on your menu that you developed from scratch, meaning not something that somebody else was making, but something that your own imagination developed?
Oh, all the time. I'm always, I call myself the queen of reinvention. You know, I believe that there's really no new dish. There's no great new recipe. It's always a product of something that was there before, but it's all about how you twist and tweak it, which makes it your own.
Variations on a theme.
Right, a variation on a theme. And we did that all the time in the store. I mean, we used to have little iron chef-offs between, you know, during like the slow hours between me and my chef, me and my cook that was there. For a number of years, I was actually behind the stove. But my sous chef, you know, eventually graduated to being the main chef, and I took more of a back seat. But daily, we would have these little iron chefs off between the lunch and the dinner crowd. We would say, okay, what can we do today? You know, what are we in the mood of? Portobellas. Okay, you get a portobello, I get a portobello. Whatever is here, you know, let's make something, and we would share it with all our, you know, our staff between the waitresses and, you know, the kitchen staff. We did that constantly. It was, you know, a great way to pass time, and it was a great way to develop new things, and it was a great way to feed my staff, you know, and it was a lot of fun, and we came up with a lot of things that way that went on the menu.
And that was probably the reason why it was such a great restaurant.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I do it daily in my own life. I'm not a big leftover fan. My husband is not either. I grew up with a mother who made up, you know, made food exactly what you needed. There was always enough, but we almost never ate leftovers. And then I realized as, you know, I grew older and got a little bit more wiser to my mother was that it wasn't that we never had leftovers. She always reinvented what we had. Meaning if we had a roast around, she would take that roast, you know, shred it, add it to a salad, or put it into a pot pie, and we never knew that it was the roast that we had Shabbos, you know, so it was great. It was great growing up that way, and it was great to learn that way. So
now tell us a little bit about your cookbooks. You have two cookbooks.
Right,
the Dairy
I have two
Gourmet
cookbooks.
And the At Home Gourmet.
Right, so the Dairy Gourmet was something that was, again, you know, that came out through...
based on the restaurant.
It was based on the restaurant. It was an idea that I've had for a very long time. And somebody approached me, you know, saying, I have a cousin who takes great photographs. She's really learning. She doesn't know what to do in the market. Do you think you could use her for something? And I met with this guy. I said, let me meet with her. Let me, you know, see what I could do with her. Because at the year before I opened up the restaurant, I was actually doing pro bono work for the Agoda organization as far as placement, job placement. So I said, you know, send her to me. Let me see what I could do, you know, for her. And I met with her, and I liked her stuff. And I said, you know, I have this great idea. If you're willing to take the time, let's do a cookbook. And let's see, maybe somebody wants to publish it. And we were very, very lucky that we had a great publisher who actually was home-based in Lakewood, Israel Bookshops. And we presented Mr. Kaufman from Israel Bookshop with our idea, and he jumped on it. At that time, you know, I think Susie Fishbane maybe had her two cookbooks out, and Levana had her one cookbook out. You know, kosher cookbooks weren't, you know, all the rage at the time that we did it in 2006.
Right.
They were up and coming. And
we have
we
two
said,
callers on the line.
Okay.
Can we? Let's
Yay.
Take the first one, and then we'll go to the second one.
No problem.
Good evening. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Good evening. My name is Yaakov. I'm calling from Lakewood, New Jersey.
Okay.
Hi, Yaakov. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I just want to let you know, and all the whole audience out there, that I personally... eaten at the restaurant, at Taste Buds, and even personally in Sarah's house. And I want to attest that she's one of the best cooks I've ever seen, and that indeed she's the queen of reinvention. And keep going, Sarah. You're doing great.
You said that you've eaten at my house? Who is this? Did you just say that you've eaten at my house?
Yeah, that's... I can't say over the radio, but we'll
oh,
talk.
Okay. Oh, somebody's eating my house. I think I know who you are, and I appreciate you calling in and giving me that boost, and thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you so much. See, Chaim, we like to like, you know, give all the good people on the line.
I understand. Now we have another caller on the line.
Sure.
No, the other caller quit.
Oh, hopefully
okay.
That caller wasn't scared off.
1 second, we have one more caller on the line.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, I guess that caller will have to call
okay.
us back.
Okay. All right, call in, guys.
Getting
we'd
back
love
to
hear
your,
from you.
Right, getting back to your cookbooks.
So anyway,
now,
to make a long story short, we basically put together the first one. It had a huge success. It took me a number of years. I got married. I had a baby in between. I was running a restaurant in between. And we recently came out with a new one, the At Home Gourmet, which is everything that I do at home, literally all my recipes that I do for dinner. And I felt it was something interesting and new, and it wasn't the same chicken schnitzel being served. And it was a little bit, you know, It also was not just dairy. It was meat. It was a lot of meat
right.
recipes as well.
But
so
even in the dairy, the recipe that I put on my blog today from your page, I mean, that one is incredible.
I appreciate that.
And by the way, when it comes to your desserts, there is at least one dessert that should be prohibited. It's too good for humans. Decadent.
Which one is that? The decadent drink. That,
the one that's
hey,
called
there
decadent.
You go. It was called that. There you go. That is a classic recipe that came out of one of our Iron Chefs. We were sitting behind the counter, and I was telling, you know, my head waitress, Joanna, at the time, you know, Joanna, I need something chocolatey and just I'm in one of those chocolate moods. And she says, okay, sit back. I'm going to make you something phenomenal. And she came up with this drink, and it was out of this world. It had a little amaretto in it. If you're
right.
a fan of amaretto, and it was just
Absolutely.
Something that was too good not to share with our customers, and it ended up being one of our most popular drinks, and it's something that I make at home now when I'm really feeling one of those chocolate moods.
I mean,
and
just looking at that photograph and trying to imagine those different excuse me. I'm trying to imagine those different flavors together and the two variations that you have in the bottom. I mean, incredible.
Thank you.
Very,
thank
very
you.
Good.
We appreciate it. Thank you. I know that you are, you know, a carnivore, as we say, Mr. Schmidt, but you have a soft spot for cheese, and, you know, so do I.
Absolutely.
And I happen to love meat,
like
but anything
earlier,
cheesy.
Like I said earlier, if you put me in a desert island, as long as I have my cheese, I'm happy.
Right.
If I don't
you're,
have cheese,
you're my
I got
kind
a very
man.
Big problem.
that's how we go. That's how we work it out also. That's how I believe also. You know, butter and cream are some of my best friends. You know, people sometimes complain that my recipes are too heavy or maybe not as healthy. And I always say everything in moderation and variation. You don't have to make as, you don't have to put in as much, but better. And that's how I grew up as well. And that's why I think my food is so delicious. I use real fresh ingredients. I don't use substitutes as much as other people might. I try to cook with real ingredients, and it's up to you to, you know, have it less, and you don't eat it all the time, but when you're going to make something like cheesecake that my friend, you know, Rifki Eisenberg, who has this Viennese table, you know, business, she doesn't make it with, you know, skim milk. She makes it with really good heavy cream, and that's why her cakes are so delicious. And if you're going to make, you know, French toast, double stuffed French toast, you know, you can't make it with skim milk. You can't make it with, you know, half fat cream cheese. It just doesn't work. It's not going to be the same, and it's not going to have the same taste. And I know there are people out there who need to eat that way, and I say, you know, all the best to you, but, you know, sometimes it pays, or it's good to be slightly indulgent and to try, you know, the real way and the real stuff. And you don't have to eat it all the time, but when you're going to do something decadent, do it the right way. It's not worth it doing it the
absolutely.
The
and
halfway.
Once again, we have a caller on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, your first name and where are you calling from? Hello? Okay, once again.
Oh, it's such a tease.
Caller is going to have to call us back on a phone that actually works. Obviously, this one didn't work too well.
Right. Oh, call us. I love questions.
Tell me a bit about your website.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a real passion project for me. I actually had this idea with a friend about 2 years ago, creating a magazine type website online that's geared to kosher lifestyle. No matter what or how religious you are or how non-religious you are, if you have a connection with kosher or Judaism or Jewish lifestyle, here's a website that will talk to you. Because if you want to travel and you want to know something or you want to do something that's Jewish-wise or kosher-wise, here's a way to go onto that site, and, you know, all the information is at your tips. And for me, it was, you know, to blog about or to write about recipes and stuff that I'm doing, like what's for dinner tonight, and invite guest bloggers and experts to come onto the website and to write things that they know that has to do with the kosher or Jewish lifestyle, per se. And you should know that we haven't launched it yet. It's actually, I mean, it's up and running, and it's a site in progress, but we just got word that the real site is almost ready to launch in about a week, and we're very excited about it. We have Dr. David.
The internet address, please.
Oh, it's www.kosherstreet.com. It's like Sesame Street, Kosher Street, and we do kosher recipes. We do reviews on restaurants. We do travel tips and ideas. Actually, people who have gone places and will tell you what's the best thing to do with your family or where to go, you know, the great discounts that you could have when you go there. We have Sharon Langer, who is a well-known designer and fashion expert who writes her Fashion Isha blog, and she gets guest fashion bloggers to write about the latest trends. We have Dr. David Lieberman, who is a well-known self-help writer and author who has two or three, I think, New York Times bestseller books out there. He just wrote one right now. The name is not on my not on my head. Hopefully you, Mr. Schmidt, will join us. We have great guest bloggers as well.
Who, I would love to.
You know, talk. Who will talk about what's out there for us. And instead of searching the internet 100 times for 100 different websites, here's one website that is central and it'll appeal to almost everybody and will have something that you could use for your life, for your kosher Jewish lifestyle. And we're very excited about it. It's a real passion project for me and my partner, and we every day we really work hard at it, and we're very excited next week to launch it. Hopefully next week, you know, with God's help, to launch it full force, and you know, show you guys out there what we have going, and you know, hopefully you'll enjoy it, and keep on coming back.
The person called us before just hung up. Okay?
Oh no! Don't hang up.
They called and hung up. I don't understand.
That's terrible. Don't be shy, guys. We love the questions and answers, and we don't have that much time left. That's it. It's such a tease.
Right. Okay. I am looking at your website.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the homepage, and yes, it's got some very, very interesting things, like the Passover video.
Yeah. Oh, so there are...
Well, that will certainly appeal to the ladies.
Right. So right now, because it's mostly...
Do-it-yourself cleaning products for Pesach, that's very interesting. That should have been publicized much more. People would have known about it.
We hope, you know, we're trying our best. We're very cautious to over-publicize it before we have the real live site up there. You know, I must say we've been doing very well just for being up with no real advertisement. And, you know, we try to put as much unique things as we can up there. You know, if you see a recipe that I made and you see a picture that was made in my house, that is a picture that I took, and that is real food that we've eaten, and it's a tried and true recipe. It's not just a random recipe where it's just put up with no testing and no real idea of what you're getting when you're making it. That's how it's going to look, and that's how it's going to taste. When we tell you something, we really, really mean it. And it's the same thing when we talk about anything from fashion to travel. We really look at what we're doing, and we take pride in telling that we're giving you quality information, tried and true information. And if we're going to take something from a different website and put it up there to share with you, it's because we think it's a phenomenal deal. If you can get $3.50 Disney sneakers or Disney flip-flops, we think that's a phenomenal idea. If you want to see a great show, you know, during Chol HaMoed, and we could tell you how to do it for 20% cheaper, you know, that's because we want to do a service for you, because we want to make it as easy as possible to get that information in one spot. So that's the goal of Kosher Street. And we hope you guys like it, you know, when you go take a look at it.
Now, yours is called Kosher Street, mine is called Kosher Scene. Do you realize that since I came before, I owe 50% of your name?
You and everybody else get in line. That's it. Yeah. Let me tell you something. We spent hours looking at that name and coming up with 100 different names, and I don't even know how that name actually stuck, but I think after, like, you know, literally days, not even hours, literally of days, that's what we came up with. So, you know, Mr. Schmidt, I'll tell you, you're going to have to fight me for it. That's it.
I'm looking at one of your recipes, roast in a borscht citrus sauce. Sounds very, very intriguing. You realize that now I have no choice but to try it.
Please, with all pleasure. Please, with all pleasure. That is a recipe that I made pre-Pesach. I was writing an article about borscht for Bina, and I had overheard a conversation about intergluschuganai. I can't even pronounce it properly because my Yiddish is not that great. And my friend's mother was talking about the borscht that she makes before Pesach. It's a whole situation for this family. They start literally, you know, Rosh Chodesh, the eve of the new month before Pesach, fermenting the beets and doing a whole thing, and how much she loves it that I actually went out and bought myself some good old Manischewitz canned borscht to try it to see what was so terrific about borscht. And I tried it, and I thought it was out of this world. I really did. I was surprised myself. And
we have just 30 seconds, and
okay.
That caller is back again. Let's see if we can get him this time. Good evening, caller. Your name and where are you calling from? Well, we still can't get that caller. At least he's persistent. He or she is persistent.
Right.
But unfortunately, we can't get him. Okay, we have less than 30 seconds to go.
Okay.
Anything you want to tell our listenership?
I would say, watch the kosher scene. Look for what Mr. Schmidt's doing. Come online and look at what Kosher Street is doing. Buy my book. And, let us know what you're looking for out there. And, when people have passion like me and Mr. Schmidt about doing kosher stuff and kosher things and Jewish lifestyle things, we love to hear feedback, and it's something that I thrive on. So I'm sorry that somebody couldn't call in, but let us know what you want out there because we're going to give it to you, and we're very excited about it. KosherStreet.com, guys.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
This was fun. We'll definitely have to do it again.
Yes.
And have a good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and come back. Give us another listen next week on Wednesday. 8 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Thank you very much. I do want to know.
Is that it? Hello. Hello?